We're going to continue. We're going to conclude with the series that we had for these 2 weekends on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And so we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 47, and as the horde of children proceed, we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 47, and we're going to conclude there, and we'll see what God has to say. I believe it's really important for us to understand that God, the Holy Spirit, has a definite plan for us. He has a definite purpose for us, and he has a phenomenal thought concerning us, and that he wants to do some great stuff through us, in us, and through us. And I think sometimes we can sell ourselves short because we're looking at ourselves as individuals and not necessarily having a connection with God to see his plan concerning you in his purpose. And so I think we have to really, I believe we really, in these last days especially, need to depend on the Holy Spirit more than ever. Because we're living in a day when there is being taught out there, which is a gospel that's not necessarily another gospel, and a spirit that's not necessarily another spirit. But God, the Holy Spirit, wants us to know him so intimately that when we are dealing with life, we know simply are able to know what's right and what's wrong. And that God is able to put something in us and give us the confidence that no matter what we're facing, no matter what we encounter, that there's power in you that can bring about change in your circumstances and that can bring about change in the community that you're in. I like to, you know, sometimes you get in conversations with people and they like to talk about the difficulty of this circumstance and the difficulty and the hardness of the way. And I understand and I empathize with people who go through a struggle, but yet at the same time, I know somebody who is able to bring change to their circumstance and situations. And I believe that God wants to help us to refocus, as I was talking about last week, on him. Because if our focus is on him, then suddenly our situations and concerns become smaller in comparison to him. He's bigger than our stuff. Some of us need to know that. He's bigger than our stuff. He's bigger than our problems. He's bigger than the issues that we're going through. He's eternal. The Bible says he's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's bigger than the stuff that we encounter in life. And that's encouraging to me, because over the last couple of weeks or so, I had big issues with my mother-in-law. I've been very, very ill, hurting, and having a number of operations. And the last time the doctors told us that, well, this last week or week before, they told us, well, we have to do this operation in order for her quality of life to improve. But if this operation only has there's a 20% chance that she might not make it through because she's 90 years old. And when you hear that kind of a statement made to you, it automatically, if we're not careful, will throw us into anxiety, throw us into a pit of despair. But when we begin to just look at Jesus, and you see, you can't look at the situation. You've got to look at Jesus. You can't look at the problem. You've got to look at him because he's the answer to the problem. And so me and Lisa began to just look at Jesus and say, God, we know no matter what it seems like, you have it all under your control. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. And we know you're going to do something about the circumstance. Well, my mother-in-law came out of the operation, and the operation went perfect. And she is on the mend. And sometimes we get concerned about things and as if God's not seeing, and so we react and try to help God. And we're concerned, and so we'll try to do something to help God. And God doesn't need our help. He's God. Before you were ever born, he was God. And in fact, the stuff that you are encountering today and you will encounter tomorrow, he knew you were coming to it before you were born. In fact, the Bible says he knew it before eternity was ever in existence. He knew about you and me. And he knows about the struggles we're going to face. But listen, beloved, this might be new to some of you, but I want you to grab hold of this. God has a plan. God has a plan for the thing that you're encountering. He's not caught by surprise. Yeah, I know some of you, especially with young kids, you know, your little kids try to scare you sometimes. They jump out from behind the corners and they say, gotcha. And you have to act like you were shocked. And you, oh, you scared me. And you have to give it that kind of intention. See, think of it like that. Oh, God, this thing is just coming. And he has to, he doesn't do that. Listen, beloved. He knew before you got there what was going to happen. And he just wants you to trust him. So listen, in the last week we talked about our focus and we talked about what he was trying to do. The Holy Spirit, in fact, in Ezekiel 47, he says that the temple, we talked last week about the Spirit in the temple. You being the temple in which the Holy Spirit abides. In Ezekiel 47, the Bible says that the door of the temple faced the east. It looked eastward. And what God is trying to tell us is that, if you remember, Jesus is coming back, the Bible tells us, in the eastern sky. He wants our focus to be on the return of Jesus. You don't hear that preached much in churches today. Or you hear about how to do this, how to do that. But, beloved, I believe we need to be focused on the return of Jesus Christ. I think as we focus on Jesus, as we look to his return, it will have an effect on the way we live. It'll have an effect on how we talk. And so he wants us to be focused. And so the Holy Spirit comes to enable us to remain focused on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, as we saw, he comes also to equip us, to ignite a fire in us. John the Baptist said of Jesus, I baptize you with water, but the one who is coming who is mightier than I, of the latchets of his shoes, I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He wants to put fire in us. That's the answer to this apathetic gospel and apathetic lies that we may have. It's the fire of God ignited in us. Come on, somebody. We need some fire. And in fact, in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us in the temple that there was to be fire burning on the altar constantly. And then fire should never go out. There should be something burning on your altar. There should be something burning inside of you. That every time the name of Jesus is mentioned, something should be happening inside. I don't know about you, but every time I hear his name, there is a turning inside of me. And I'm not talking about pain. It's an enjoy, a kind of like a rejoicing happening inside of me when I hear the name of Jesus. Like the old people when they used to sing those songs like, there's something, Rance Allen, there's something about the name of Jesus. It's the sweetest name that I know. We as men, we sang that song. We sang it. Remember the men's guy? There's something about the name Jesus. Remember that? Remember that, bro? We sang that. There's something about his name that when he is mentioned, if there's fire in your heart, that something inside of you will respond. Remember when Mary and Martha were pregnant? They were pregnant, and all of a sudden, here comes Martha. She meets Mary, and John the Baptist in Martha's womb leapt because of the presence of God. When you meet brothers and sisters, I don't know about you. I talked to Brother Isaac. He's a quiet guy. He ain't like me. Isaac's quiet, and he's cool. Hi, Isaac. Hi. But when I talk to Isaac, still, there is something that reacts inside of me, not because of his outward appearance or his outward habits or his outward posture, but because of something inside of him that is on fire for God. It sets something inside of me. Oh, come on, somebody. It does something to me. And that's what God wants to do, beloved. He wants to ignite each and every one of us so much with himself, fill us so much with his presence, that every time we meet, wherever we go, something is happening. Somebody is changing. Come on. That's what he wants to do. He wants to infuse us with himself. Glory be to God. And so, that's what happens. And we found out that when we enter in to the ankle deep, knee deep, hip deep, into this river that we cannot go across, that's the sanctifying process of God in our lives. He wants to sanctify us. He wants us to make us ready for use. Not that we can't be used while he's sanctifying us, But he just still wants to sanctify. What do you mean by that, Vince? When you catch a fish, do you eat the fish without cleaning it? I know you don't throw that fish on the barbecue or put it in the frying pan with all them guts inside of there. That'd be some nasty eating. No, we clean that fish. We gut it, take all of the stuff out of it, all of the scales off of it. And for those of you who don't like eyeballs like me, you cut the head off. I tell you what, when I go to Kenya, my friend Pastor Emmanuel Coconio, those guys got me. Those guys are tough. They have fish, and they cook the fish, and they believe eating the eyeballs is a delicacy. And they came to me and they said, Pastor, you have the eyeballs right here. We saved it for you. I said, listen, don't do me no favors, bro. Y'all go ahead and y'all indulge in that delicacy. I'll just eat the fish. You keep the eyeballs. I am not interested in eating any fish's eyeballs. But he cleans it up. It's a sanctifying process. And it gets us to a point where we can no longer touch the bottom of the river. We have to let go and let God. And God's trying to get us to that point where we allow the current of the Holy Spirit to carry us in the will of God, and we relinquish all control and all authority, and Jesus is now the captain of your ship. And he begins to determine your life's destiny, because fact of the matter is, he has already determined it before the dawn of time. He wants us to follow his plan. Are you hearing me? Okay. So, now we come to this week, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit outside of the temple, his work outside of the temple. But I do believe God wants to ignite us. He wants to put a passion in us. You know, you don't have to, if you like something, and if you really like something, you don't need anybody to tell you to pursue it. You pursue it just because it's what you want. How much more should we be pursuing Jesus? He should be the object of our eyes, the object of our thoughts, the object of our life existence. He should be the one that we're going after. Are you hearing that? Okay, let me put it to you this way. We know how to pursue food because we know in this church we like food. And we know how to go after that because we need that to sustain us, right? How much more do we need Jesus to sustain us spiritually? We are born again into a spiritual realm, which means that in order for me to be effective in the spiritual realm, I have to feed myself, feed my spirit with the stuff that causes me to grow and develop. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to pursue him. Listen, nobody had to tell me. When I first saw Lisa, I know y'all heard this story, but I'll tell you again. When I first saw Lisa, I was like, man, she ain't here good. Man, y'all excuse my language. Look at that hottie over there. And then when I got to talk to her, for the first time I talked to her, after I talked to her and I saw how nice she was, I got scared. And I started regressing, and then she started pursuing me. But in that process, something happened. I found out she loved me not for what I can do or what I look like, but for who I am. And so now I began to pursue her again. Listen to me, beloved. Jesus has no other expectation of you other than you would love him more than anything else in the world, that you would love him like he loves you. Yeah. And if we pursue him, there's some things that will happen in our lives that we would never felt or never felt that could happen. Now, part two, his work outside of the Holy Spirit. Very quickly, Ephesians 3:20, You don't have to turn, but I'll read it to you. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. Now, God wants to do stuff through us, but he wants to also create some resources in us to do something outside of us. The Holy Spirit comes to do something inside of us. Yes, so that something would happen outside of us. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power working in us. If we have power working in us, there will be some changes outside of us. Somebody say power in me changes everything outside of me. If there's no power working, no, you don't have to repeat this. But if there's no power working in me, then there's nothing going to change. There's got to be something happening inside of me. He told the Apostle Paul said, I pray that you will be strengthened with might and power on the inner man. Because it's there that the power is produced to bring change. The Holy Spirit will flow out of like a reservoir out of your temple because there's change. So it'll produce change. Are you hearing me? Okay. So that's what Paul said in Ephesians 3:20. The potential, and what does it mean, really, when you think about it? He uses those phrases, exceeding abundantly. And above all that we can ask or think, exceeding abundantly. That's powerful phrases, aren't they? Exceeding abundantly. That means more than we can express and more than we could imagine. God will through. How many of us ever prayed for a need and got more than you expected? Yeah, see, that's what happens when we pray for something and we're really praying. God's desire is not just to meet your need. He wants to overflow the cup. He wants to do more, immeasurably more than you could imagine could happen. When we went to Biggleswade with them 3 years ago to take responsibility of this particular fellowship that was about to be closed, our regional leader said, we're going to close this because it's a mess. We're closing it. And he said, but Vince, I heard you used to do tent missions here. Would you come and see what you can do? I said, no problem. I'll do, because I have a heart for the people there. So we went. And I said, God, after about a month or two, I said, God, you might want to close. No, I didn't say that. I felt like it needed to be, I felt this is not going to work. And I started, we kept praying, Lisa and I kept praying, we kept praying. And then God said to me, Vince, let me tell you something. If bringing people is the measure of what you think I can do, then you missed the point. I said, okay. The very next Sunday, the place was packed. He said to me, see, I can do that anytime I want. That's not what I'm trying to do. I am not trying to just fill churches. I'm trying to fill you so that you can affect the world. And so what we see now is we started seeing gradual people coming. We've seen people saved, people's lives touched. And we're seeing that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. See, it's not just about us having a good program and having good speakers and doing great, although we have in this church, we have some great ministry. I'm telling you, the dynamic duo back here, husband and wife team, we've got some great stuff here. Pastor Joe, Pastor Rich and Amber, my Lily, and even back there, he's been in hiatus for a little bit, but we're going to bring him out of hiatus. Brother Robin sitting back there in the corner. You know, phenomenal ministry in this church. But the thing is, God wants us to have that ministry affecting the community. Now, stay with me. So he wants to do exceeding abundantly. He wants to do more than we can imagine, more than we realize. He wants that not just for you and us as collectively, but he wants that for us as individuals. Sometimes we think that we serve God and we come and we do this ritualistically and nothing changes or nothing happens. Well, the psalmist said, I would have lost faith if I had not hoped to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so God wants to bring what he talks about and he shares in the word, what people tell us. He wants to bring it to bear here. He wants to bring it down from glory into our active lives. He wants, and that's done by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He wants to be real in our experiences. And so God does that by that ministry. Now listen, we know that the source of that river, the source of the Holy Spirit is Jesus. The Bible says that he will dispense or give the Holy Spirit to us. He wants to do more than we've thought he can do or imagined that he can do, but I can tell you right from the start, he wants to stop. Can I tell you this? The Holy Spirit wants, in your life and in my life and in the people we come in contact with, he wants to stop decay. He wants to stop the downward spiral of death, and he wants to bring life. See, Jesus, his whole focus was this. In 1 John 3:8, it said of Jesus that this is the reason the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. Jesus said, because this will help us understand what we need to do while we're here and while the Holy Spirit is moving in our lives. Jesus said, I have come, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So what God wants you and I to do is position ourselves in a place where life can flow through us. Beloved, help me to help you understand. If you are saved and you are blood-bought, you are full with the Holy Spirit, you are a conduit from heaven to earth. You are somebody that God wants to flow through from glory into circumstances and situations in other people's lives. And you are a blessing to this world, brought down from glory and given and dispersed out into our local community. He wants to be like that for you and me, through you and me. Conduits of his glory. And so, I think sometimes, you know, God just wants to do things through us in a natural way and to provide for people naturally or in a pragmatic way. But how many of you know that he wants to do things supernaturally that we cannot do? I said, he wants to do things through you that when your natural efforts cannot meet the need, his supernatural intervention will. You know, sometimes we go to church and say, oh, I believe he can heal. I believe it. I believe he can raise the dead. But when we're confronted by the situation, we shrink back. And we don't give it what's required. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Like, for instance, we go into the pub. It'd be real easy for us to shrink back. We go in the pub with pizza, and we go in there, and we talk to people, you know, and it'd be real easy for us to, okay, this environment is foreign to me. I don't do this. I know I don't do that anymore, but it would be real easy for me to go into the pub and then clam up and be afraid to say anything. Much worse it'd be if I didn't go in there, but when I go in there, it'd be real easy for me to clam up and not say anything. Do you know that the Holy Spirit came for that reason? And he's here for that reason? The text that I just quoted to you, that Jesus came, he was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. The Holy Spirit has come and he has a tractor beam on anything that has in a death or a downward spiral situation. I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to destroy those works. So anything that is involved in destruction, decay, or downward spiral of any kind, the Holy Spirit has targeted that thing and is coming after it. Even if it's in your life or in your circumstances, the Holy Spirit wants to eradicate that and bring life. I don't care what it looks like, Brother Jeremy. I don't care how it looks and what it feels like. He wants to come and be involved in it in such a way that he turns it around. Even though it looks like it's not irreparable, it can't be fixed, he wants to be involved in that. And he targets those situations. How do you know that, Vince? Because on the day of Pentecost, he came to a church who was hiding and not willing to go into the world. And the moment he fell upon them and they came, oh, beloved, they came out of their little hiding place and the whole world was turned upside down and inside out for Jesus. Because he started targeting the darkness, targeting the downward spiral. The Holy Spirit did that. And that's what he wants to do for you and through me. In the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it says that wherever the river flows, I want you to go to Ezekiel chapter 47 now. Wherever the river flows, wherever he is going, couple more minutes. Ezekiel 47. Now, he says this in verse 7. When I return there along the bank of the river, where very many trees on the other side of on one side and on the other. Then he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. In verse 12, and along the bank of the river on each side of that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will go not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for the healing of the nations. Now listen, the Bible tells us that everyone that he that believeth in me, from out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And the scripture is describing out of the temple. Now this water is flowing out of the temple. And either side of this river, there are trees for the healing of the nations. There are trees with all kinds of fruit. Trees that will meet all kinds of need. Those trees are you and me. I know you don't look like a tree. I know you don't feel like a tree. But in the spirit, you are a tree. And you are going to produce fruit that heals nations. Beloved, this little church out of Lakenheath is already affecting three nations. Three nations, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, and I forgot to mention one other, Nepal. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jeremy said, I'll get big on this. But this is what I'm talking about. This is us. When the Spirit of God begins to move, and he is moving, they said this. The Bible says there's trees on either side of the river for healing of the nations. And it says that it has all kinds of fruit. The stuff that you're going through is not meant to be detrimental to you, but it is producing something in you. The struggle that you're going through is not going to kill you. It's producing something in you. And that stuff is fruit. How will you ever be able to help somebody out of a struggle if you've never been through a struggle? How are you going to be able to tell somebody God is a healer if you've never been healed? Come on, somebody in here. And God wants to do something in your life that produces something and enables you to give to somebody that brings life to them. The Apostle Paul said, death works in me, but life in you. And he is doing something that is producing life in you and in me. And so we look at those fruit on either side of the river for the healing of the nations. And I want you to notice something. The river, it's not only, it's the river flowing out of us. That's a mindset in which we
We're saying.
Not a mindset, but this actuality of what he wants to do. But there's a mindset that you and I need to have. In order for the fruit to be deduced, in order for us to be those trees that are producing fruit, we have to position ourselves. In Psalm 1, it says, in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. What shall he be like? See, if the word of God is, I don't know, if I mention particular foods here, I know there'll be a number of amens on whatever I touch on those particular types of food. If I said fried chicken, if Joe was here, he'd be freaking out. Oh, he's there. Oh, yeah. Joe would go crazy. If I said steak, that's me. I said lasagna. Oopsie. A mention of food somewhere would touch somebody. It would have an impact on somebody. See, but we're talking about us producing something. Listen, us producing something that brings about a response from people. He said, blessed is the man who walks in. He says all of these things. And then he says, in his law, he meditates day and night. See, we have all of this stuff that we can provoke a response from us. But what God is trying to challenge us into these final days is what does his word provoke in you and me? Is there a real desire for his word? And so much so, if there's a desire for his word, how much is our desire for him? You know, you have a gospel out there that says, don't tell me about sanctification. Just tell me about Jesus. Don't tell me about me having a responsibility. Just tell me about Jesus. Don't tell me about my responsibility in prayer and study. Just tell me about Jesus. Well, all that sounds good, doesn't it? But you can't have any of those without Jesus. I mean, and you need those, and if you're going after him, you're going to have those are going to be attached. There's no way you can deal with Jesus and not be sanctified. There's no way you can deal with Jesus and not gain a passion and a desire for his word. Because I don't know about you, but he so loved me that he put something in me. When my life was falling apart, me and Lisa, our marriages was falling apart, Jesus did something, and he put a love in me that I tell you what, there's nothing else that matters other than him, because he's the repairer of my soul. And so that your response becomes reciprocal to what's taking place. Now, the psalmist said, he shall be like, he says, when all of those things are happening, when we're longing for Jesus and we're coming after him like that, he says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So whatever, if we position ourselves by the river, in other words, if we long for Jesus, we become attractive to the Holy Spirit, and he becomes more active in our hearts and in our lives. And if he becomes more active in our hearts and our lives, there's going to be some things changing. And I don't know about you, but I want him. There's nothing else more. Listen, I've been living on this earth now for 60 years, and there ain't nothing more important than getting a hold of Jesus. I did it. I've done everything of life, every vice of life you can probably think of. I rolled it. I smoked it. I snorted it. I done this. I done that. But let me tell you something. There ain't nothing like having the presence of Jesus in your life. And, beloved, that will bring a joy in you that will affect everything around you. And we need that more and more. Today, they don't need religion. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I grew up in that stuff. I want the life of God. I'm going to close with this. Now, the Bible says that the river flowed into the desert place. See, the Bible also says the river flowed into the desert place, but instead of Jesus, he left his glory and he came here. Sometimes what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you and me is to take us places we may necessarily not want to go. But it's that place that God wants to bring about change and demonstrate his power. See, we have a, I know I'm not just talking to myself. I know I'm, we have a preference, don't we? Just say, yes, sir, yes, Lord. We have a preference. We want to go and do what feels good to us, what makes us comfortable, because that's easier to deal with. But do you know that we are challenged to go and do things that don't make us comfortable? Picking up your cross is not comfortable. It's not a good feeling. Jesus got on the cross. He was like, oh, yeah, I love it. This cat and nine tails. Man, this is great. Wah-pah. Yeah, go ahead. Hold on the other side. You didn't get this. You missed this side. Oh, this is feeling good. They lay them down and they smack in the nails. Oh, yeah, man, put another one in there. It was brutal to him. It was hurtful. It was painful. But he still went. And sometimes we say that the goodness of God or what God is doing in our life will make us feel good, and that's not true. When God wants to do something in your life, beloved, listen, sometimes he takes you to a transition, and transition is not nice and it doesn't feel good. You ask any woman in here who's had a child. If transition does not feel good, it is painful. But I want to tell you something. What's birthed after the transition, what comes after the pain, is far more glorious and worth the pain that you've gone through. Because I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is going to lead us to a place of righteousness, a place of satisfaction in God. And when you had the babies, the two little boys, two little boys, I know Yuki was saying, please don't squeeze my hand no more. This is painful. You know, Jesus said, I don't want to go to the cross. He says, if possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. This don't, and I'm sure Joe was sitting there saying, I love these babies who are coming, but I really don't want this pain. Because I know what it's like, because I was there when my girls were born. And I still bear the scars of. I know what it's like. But what I have now exceeds the pain. Not that I went through. Well, I went through some pain, but Lisa went through more. But it's greater than the pain. Can I read this in closing to you? This is really the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Really, he really wants to bring us to this point. And see, we're talking at Biggleswade a couple weeks ago, and God is trying to get us from focusing on this natural realm and get us to focus more in the realm that we were birthed into. Because, you know, if something happens in the spiritual realm, how many of you know that's going to bring about change in the natural? Go to 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to close with this. I am going to close. See, the Apostle Paul is describing 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He's describing a crushing situation concerning the people of God, where we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down. And then he goes into this in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The problem may be weighty. The pain may be weighty now. But what I'm bringing to you is going to be glorious. What the Holy Spirit wants to do through you is going to be glorious. Just hold steady. Don't let the pain cause you to make a decision. Let the peace of God help you make the decision. It says, verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What God wants to do for you and me by the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to keep us focused, not only in the eternal realm, but so that we can bring stuff from the eternal realm to the natural realm, to the people who don't know him. And beloved, the Bible tells us, and they asked Jesus, how should we pray? You tell us how we need to pray. And if God didn't want it to happen, he wouldn't have told them to pray like this. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come where? On earth as it is where? In heaven. So he wants what's taking place in heaven to take place down here. And the only way that's going to happen is by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He wants to bring glory. You know, we're supposed to be representatives of heaven here. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus. Well, I shared this morning, I feel God is some relative weakness. God, I pray that your word would not be limited by my flesh, that your word would have its impact on people, and that people would have impact on other people. I pray, God, that as we allow the Holy Spirit to minister through us, as we allow you to minister through us, God, people's lives will be changed as the river flows. Your word declares wherever the river flows, everything lived. And so, Father, we pray that through us, that you would bring life to people who are in death situations. Because our desire, God, is for you to be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.